Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Defining Truth, episode 48. Check it out. I think you're going to want to hear this. All right, guys, well, welcome back. Hope you guys had a good Christmas and a good New Year's. For some, not so much. Today, we're going to talk about the fires and the blazing inferno that Southern California has turned into. That's all we're going to talk about today. We're going to go over a couple different things, the current update as far as status of the fire, what we've heard from some of the folks out there on the front line, and we're going to go over some policies and just some thoughts on what has led us to this point thus far. So, as always, you can listen to us here on YouTube, of course, and share with as many people as you can think of. That's always great. Also, catch us on Instagram at Defining Truth. And on X, where we can put out up-to-date info and whatnot. And always check us out on Real Life Network, where you can watch the show and lots of other awesome content. Real Life Network. They have an app, which is pretty cool as well. Brandon, welcome back. Hope you had a good Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
So let's just get right into this. If you've been living under a rock or maybe out of the country for the past week, you may not know. So let me just remind you, the Los Angeles County area is a blazing inferno right now, multiple fires, and I believe zero containment as of today still. So here's just bullet points on the fire update. As of January 10th, which is today, Southern California is grappling multiple wildfires, notably the Pacific Palisades fire and the Eaton fire, which are the two worst. They've collectively scorched over 26,000 acres and led to the evacuation of about 150,000 residents. So just some key updates on those. The Palisades fire has consumed over 16,000 acres alone, resulting in the destruction of numerous structures, including high-profile properties. This is what we've been seeing in the news. A lot of celebrities and Hollywood people have homes in that area, and they have now lost them. The Eaton fire, which is affecting the Altadena area there in Southern California, has destroyed more than 5,000 structures and continues to pose significant threats to nearby communities as the fire is 0% contained still. Of course, if you're not familiar with Southern California, you'll know that we have the Santa Ana winds. They are very strong this year. Last night, I got a warning from the alert system that was talking about 100-mile-an-hour winds in some areas, which, of course, is exacerbating the fire spread and complicating containment efforts. At least 10 fatalities have been reported as of today, and thousands of residents are under evacuation orders in the immediate area of the fire. Now, the effects of this fire extend way beyond just the fire zones where it's the worst. You also have rolling blackouts as Southern California Edison has cut power on purpose to try to avoid more fires started due to these high winds. So you have the power lines, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere where the high winds are the worst, and they have shut the power off, which then of course rolls down into the suburban areas and other cities. Some folks have been now 48 hours without power. Just depends on where you are. It's hit or miss. So that's sort of the current update as of today. It's still burning. And if you could just visually imagine this, these 80 to 100 mile an hour winds are blowing mostly southward. Okay. And so imagine, like anything, it's a furnace, right? Imagine holding like a leaf blower to your campfire. Anything right next to it just continues to spread and burn. And when we say zero containment, I mean, it's literally like they've been unable to stop this fire from spreading. Many areas have run out of water. The hydrants are empty. I spoke with one firefighter who's literally on the front line, and they were sitting in Santa Monica watching the fire come over the ridge as it's about to enter the city of Santa Monica. And I've seen some footage from other folks there on the ground. It is completely gone. And I mean Pacific Coast Highway, Palisades area, it's just a wasteland, and it's still spreading. So that's the update there on the fires. And of course, if you live in the California, Southern California area, we're always concerned with brand new fires. You know, some of us think, well, you know, that fire is 100 miles away from me and I'm okay. But the truth is, due to the horrible policies and mismanagement combined with the weather that we're going to talk about in a minute, these fires can start basically anywhere. So a lot of folks hurting right now. This has been a rough end of 2024, beginning of 25 here. And I'm sure your prayers for a lot of these families would be appreciated. There's a bunch of ways that you can help out. I know if you do a quick Google search, there's quite a few nonprofits and organizations that are working to help people, getting food, all kinds of ways to get involved if you're looking to do that. Brandon, any additional comments on the Just the Fire update before we jump into policies here?
No, a lot of the stuff I had to do with sort of what Newsom had to say about his wildfire prevention accomplishments, and then really just, I mean, it comes down to he's just kind of a liar.
Yeah.
He touts that he has, you know, there was a couple years ago, he did have an increase in the budget, but the money went unspent, things like that. So I think we can kind of move into policy and okay. Some of that stuff will come up.
Yeah. Naturally. And I think we're going to go into, I have a specific section. We'll go into Newsom's response specifically. So let's lead into just for everyone to be on the same page here, kind of what's happening from a government perspective. So if I could headline this next segment, I would call it Sacramento Could Not Care Less. Yesterday, California Assembly members held a special session to, I'd let you guess, right? Is it to talk about fires, to talk about water management? No. It was to talk about how they're going to counter Trump. And there was absolutely zero discussion reference the fires. Now, I spoke with an assemblyman this morning. That's where I'm getting this information, straight from the horse's mouth. What this assembly special session did discuss was $100 million, one of the proposals that they want to establish, to essentially establish a legal defense fund to counter Trump's America First policies in California. Other than that, there was no discussion about the fires at all. Now, Brandon mentioned, you know, we're going to get into Newsom's petulant pontificating here in a minute, where he goes on and he whines about things and really doesn't make any sense at all because he doesn't know what he's doing. But as far as a leadership perspective, they could care less. And I want everyone listening, if you hear this, share it, okay? Because Democrats elected in California do not care about you. Their priorities are totally upside down. They don't care about the average American. They don't care about minorities. They don't care about taxpayers. They have an agenda that's about 99.9% leftist ideology. That's all they care about. It's progressive Marxism. And as we've learned, especially here in the poster child that is California, these progressive Marxist agendas, they just leave people distraught and suffering, whether it's crime, whether it's the economy, whether it's land management. It's an absolute disaster. And yet people continue to elect these people. It's unbelievable. I will point out one notable tweet, if we can still call it that, on X. Assemblyman Bill Asaley here in California tweeted this, which has now garnered over 3.2 million views. Go check it out if you don't. Search his name on X, Bill Asaley, California State Assemblyman. But he said this, and I quote, and I want to read it. For everyone saying this is not a time for blame, mind you, let me give you context. He's talking about people complaining about criticizing Newsom and the Democrats because they're calling it politicizing the fires. Let's just set the record straight here, and I agree with him on this. He said, for everyone saying it's not time to blame, this is exactly the moment that the people who have been responsible for the mismanagement of California's fire policies should be held accountable. Our governor, speaking of Newsom, has been obsessed with holding a special session to Trump-proof California when he should be focused on fireproofing our communities. And he goes on to list a few hard facts about the Democrat-run state's failures to address fire prevention. I'm going to go through some of these bullet points, but yeah, so basically, Brandon, there's all these people, both sides, there's been Republicans here in California and those on the left who are essentially saying, oh, don't politicize the fires, right? It's a time to come together. I'm so sick of hearing that. I think Californians in general are sick of hearing that. Like, right? It's like, that's the left's narrative. We're not allowed to criticize their terrible policies that lead to people suffering. Because, oh, you're politicizing it. It's a cop-out.
Yeah, and I wanted to make a point on that, too. I just sort of thought about this. But wildfires in California are equivalent to hurricanes on the East Coast, tornadoes in the Midwest, like in the sense that short of an act of God, you're not going to stop a hurricane or a tornado. But when a wildfire breaks out in California, you can do things ahead of time to make it easier to put those fires out or stop those fires. And our government has failed us in what is our, the biggest natural disaster threat, you know, aside from earthquakes, in California. These things, wildfire is the one that happened here, on the hill behind us, you know, during the summer, was because of construction equipment, you know, it was an accident, right? Or people set fires on purpose. But regardless of the reason why a fire is started, if you have managed these fire areas appropriately, it makes it much easier for the firefighters to put them out. And in this case, this just, it didn't happen. It doesn't matter. Newsom, you know, blames the fact that there's a deficit, but a lot of the budgets, when they came out, there was no deficit. So he has just failed us. The leaders in Los Angeles have failed us, and people are suffering. It doesn't matter. You know, there's a lot of people on social media talking about, well, who cares about the people in Hollywood? They're rich. It doesn't matter. If you're the richest person in the country or the poorest, like, losing your home is not a good thing. And it could have been avoided. So,
well, and a lot of that stuff that you're talking about, that management that should have gone into the state, that is why leaders deserve to be criticized. I mean, leaders should be criticized, especially if they're grotesquely failing at their job. Some of you may be wondering, like, well, what exactly, you know, either led to this or can be done? Well, first of all, we do have examples of areas in the world, that do a better job, right? Finland is one of them. Recently, I read an article where the president of Finland was speaking to Trump about something, and Finland self-describes themselves as a forest nation, and they do a lot to prevent these types of fires that we do not do here in California. But let's go over a few just in the history of the state that has led us to this sort of out of control perpetual fire season. And again, there's a great thread on X that the Assemblyman Asaley points this out. You go read it yourself by searching his name. But here's a couple. One, in the 1950s, California harvested around 60 billion board feet of timber per year. Today, due to virtue signaling policies grounded in ideological fantasy instead of reality, that number is less than 1.5 billion. Here's the problem with that. You're thinking, like, well, isn't it good that we don't cut down trees? Okay, let's just clarify this for those, you know, who want to be realists. When you don't manage the forest properly, you leave massive amounts of dead and dry wood laying on the forest floor all over the state. According to CalMatters.com, which has a great article on this, that means about 163 million dead trees are laying all over the state as of today, ready to ignite at any given moment. So if you don't manage the forest properly, then you have all these out of control fires because all of that dead wood just turns into fuel. Some areas are worse. The former director of Cal Fire, Ken Pimlott, said, and I quote, "In many communities of the central and southern Sierra Nevada mountain range, 80% of the trees are dead." Now, a lot of those dead trees, if you dig further, have to do with disease, have to do with drought. But again, the Forest Service, both state and federal, their job is to manage those areas instead of virtue signal about nonsense and progressive Marxist ideas like saving the smelt fish and protecting a turtle. And meanwhile, thousands of people suffer and lose their homes because of this idiocy. Another sort of background issue behind these fires is the California Environmental Quality Act, which we talked about before the show, CEQA. Other regulatory policies, they limit the ability of local government and fire management services to clear dead trees and vegetation. Or I had to look into this because I was like, well, what is this CEQA? Why would we ever pass such a thing? So basically, CEQA is a big deal because it prevents much of the controlled burns that we desperately need, right? So if you properly manage the fires that do occur way out in the middle of nowhere and you have controlled burns and you let it burn, then a lot of that fire fuel is cleaned up. Now, CEQA and multiple bills, including like AB 2330, AB 1951, AB 2639, just to name a few, These were bills that Republicans put forth, were rejected by the Democrat-controlled legislature or vetoed by the governor, and they would have exempted wildfire prevention projects from CEQA. Okay, so let's be clear what I'm talking about. CEQA says, okay, you're not allowed to do controlled burns. I'm oversimplifying this. There's a lot of things that go into CEQA, but that's part of it, okay? And there's a huge permitting, lengthy red tape bureaucratic process that essentially grinds everything to a halt. Republicans tried to exempt organizations like, you know, fire service and whatnot, and Democrats flat out rejected it. Another bill, for example, State Bill 1003, would have exempted the power companies from this, you know, forest clearing regulation and allowed them to clear forest areas around power lines. That bill never even made it to the floor. Democrats stopped it simply because of their vitriol hatred for Republican Americans. So again, in decades past, there has been much criticism of Democrats and their ridiculous policies, not just on wildlife or wild land management, but also on topics that we've discussed here frequently, like crime and economics. So the appropriate response is 100% to criticize these leaders. They shouldn't be leaders. They don't know what they're doing. I'm going to pause from my notes here and just, you know, bring this point up. I was on the phone earlier with a national political strategist that we touch base with sometimes. And, you know, we had an interesting discussion to the effect of politicians are often elected due to either how much money they have or how like charismatic they are when they're speaking in front of people. You very rarely find people that actually know what they're doing, right? I found this when I ran for Congress here in Southern California, coming from a public service background in law enforcement, military, DOD, I wanted to talk about things like border security and counterterrorism. And I brought real world perspective. And I quickly noticed that many of the candidates that were running either alongside me or against me were just professional politicians. They had never served a day in their life. They didn't know about crime. They didn't know about policies. And so they just regurgitate what these consultants tell them to say. And it really to no effect, right? Well, the Democrats have exemplified this perfectly. They will pass legislation regarding like crime, for example, and never not once speak to the people that are experts in crime, like law enforcement. I was watching an article interview the other day with Sheriff Chad Bianco here in Riverside County. He's part of, you know, the Sheriff's Association for the state of California. And of all the counties in California, they get together every so often to meet and talk about policy and prevention and how to keep people safe. And they have repeatedly extended the invitation to that meeting to Newsom and other Democrats in Sacramento. And they have never come, not once. Newsom has never met with the sheriffs, not one single time. Those are your cream of the crop elected public safety officials. And no one has ever even met with them. No, what do they do instead? They go to Berkeley or UCLA and they find these progressive Marxist teachers. And they're like, what should we do? Should we let everybody out of jail? And it's been one disaster after another. Recently, we just reversed the effects of Prop 47 after years because of how disastrous it was for the people of California. Crime was rampant. Homelessness, another topic. I mean, we could go on and on and on. For whatever reason, Democrats are addicted to doing stupid things and people keep voting for them. It blows my mind. So I digress. To bring it to the fire perspective, you know, it's the same thing. We've been warning them for years and years and years, and they have completely ignored everyone's criticism and advice. I want to read a tweet here real quick before we get too far away from it. Back in 2019, Trump actually tweeted in regards to Newsom here in California, and I quote, billions of dollars are sent to the state of California for forest fires that, with proper forest management, would never happen. Unless they get their act together, which is unlikely, I've ordered FEMA to send no more money. It's a disgraceful situation in lives and money. See, this isn't anything new, right? It's not the Palisades fire. In fact, the Palisades fire and others now are not even the worst fires we've seen in California by far. The worst fire actually in recent history was 2018. The Paradise fire was enormous. This has been a long term issue that they have repeatedly ignored. And for those saying like, oh, I can't believe, you know, well, you don't want to send more money to Newsom. Why would you send him more money? Why would we give him a single dime? They're irresponsible. They lose money. We covered what not too long ago, Brandon. Remember the 24, oh, let me find where I had in my notes. Yeah, we recently covered here on the show, California just, they simply lost $24 billion. Just, we don't know what happened to it. Well, I don't know where it went.
And it's not a lack of money because I was doing some research and California has billions of dollars allocated for wildfire prevention. A lot of it's gone unspent. So a 2022 state audit found that Cal Fire had failed to spend more than $400 million in prevention funds
awesome.
That were supposed to go towards fuel reduction. And, you know, some people might be like, well, what, you know, why does it matter $400 million out of billions of dollars? I mean, the slow deployment of funds, this is what leaves these communities in high risk areas waiting that are waiting for crucial protection measures. They're just not there. And Newsom in 2021, I remember this coming up during his recall election. Cap Radio and NPR found that he grossly exaggerated his administration's wildfire prevention efforts. He publicly stated that his administration had completed over 90,000 acres of wildfire prevention work across 35 different projects. Well, this investigation found that the actual figure was only 13,000 acres, or just 15%.
Slight over.
Of what
over
he had claimed. Well, and to play devil's advocate, some people might be, well, maybe he misspoke or he was misinformed. But as the governor of California, in which wildfires is one of the state's most important issues, like, you don't get to misspeak about something like that. The reality is he's either a liar or he's incompetent, and neither are okay.
I think the answer is both, as we've seen with others, other leftists in leadership around the country. They're ideologues, and they don't know what they're doing, so they are incompetent because they're driven by progressive Marxism, and they also lie about the results of what they're doing because they don't know, they don't understand accountability. I mean, we saw that with the attempt assassination against President Trump, where the Secret Service is an utter disaster because of DEI nonsense. And, you know, Director Cheadle, the lady, she refused to step down. She's like, oh yeah, you know, it was a total disaster. I failed, but I know I'm not going to quit. That is a reoccurring trend that we see. California is just the worst example of it. I mean, look, I mean, if they can't control, how do you, they lose $24 billion, right? But then they are just increasing our gas taxes again. So they take.
Or payroll tax.
And payroll, yeah, I mean, a litany of other things. It shouldn't be any surprise to any student of geopolitics and politics locally, because they are very open and out front about who they are, their progressive Marxist ideals. They do not like the American system. They're anti-capitalist. They're very open. They don't hide that. They praise communist nations like China. And they're very open about their beliefs that, you know, if they could, they would tax you 100%. Obama wrote that in his book, Dreams from My Father. He talked about that, how if it was possible, he would tax people 100% as long as, you know, the government could provide what they needed. I mean, there's no point in even arguing. At the fundamental core of Democrats' beliefs, they are socialist. They are progressive Marxist in this new sort of American way, and they believe in big government. The government should have everything. You should have no control. That's why they want to take everything from you. They want to take your money. They want to take your free speech. They want to take your firearms. They want to take everything for you, just like their forefathers in Marxist nations around the world did to those nations. But they have a hard time with it because this is still America. So the Constitution annoys them, right? We've seen that repeatedly. So you know, this is, like you said, good point. Fires are not preventable 100% because, you know, they happen.
Yeah, but accidents happen. Yeah.
The disgraceful mismanagement of this state is finally like rearing its head. And I just hope that people, especially your white upper class liberals, right? Those are the hardest people to turn. I hope that they realize that you're just self-harming yourself by voting Democrat and their idiotic policies. You know, another thing along those lines of policies, like when we talked about CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, you know, one of the worst part about that was that CEQA allows organizations to file lawsuits to challenge projects they believe violate environmental standards. So this is like an open invitation for anyone trying to just like do good work and manage their either their business or their land properly.
Yeah, it's sued. A tool that they took advantage of to stop capitalism and growth is what it is. It inhibits growth.
Right. And we have a real world example of it on how it, you know, because it has been criticized exactly, like you said, for causing significant delays in increasing costs for public and private development projects, like building houses. It's like impossible to do anything here without layers and layers and layers of disgraceful permits. And it's all a money gamble. It's really disgusting. Like, just to go off on a side note, right? If you want to do something, a project in your backyard or whatever, right? It will cost you thousands of dollars to beg the government, to beg the county, to give you permission to do something on your own property under the guise of safety. Look, if it was really about safety, then why don't you send your county employee, which taxpayers pay for, out to inspect it and give me a thumbs up or thumbs down and then leave.
Yeah.
Right? No. It costs you $2,000. Why? The money-making grab from leadership in this state is abhorrent. And the impact it's had on housing crisis is been significant. Let's look at a real life example, right? In October 2017, the Tubbs Fire here in California devastated several neighborhoods up in Santa Rosa area, including a very affluent area called Fountain Grove. That Tubbs Fire in 2017 destroyed over 5,600 structures and nearly 37,000 acres of land. Now, here's what's interesting. While the middle-class suburban areas were able to rebuild in the following years, the Fountain Grove, the affluent area where these multi-million dollar houses were, faced significant challenges. Even to this day, it's not fully rebuilt. And it had to do with CEQA and California regulation. Basically, this slow rebuilding process was because of stringent building codes, insurance complications, obstacles, red tape, bureaucracy. It delayed the return to normalcy for these people in these affluent areas. And what happened is all these people, they left. Many of the people from that area left. They went to Texas. They went to Tennessee because Newsom and his cohorts up in Sacramento have made it so difficult for Californians to do anything in this state. They've destroyed small businesses. They've destroyed individuals who are trying to make a living or, it's an absolute disaster. And it's all under the guise of, oh, it's the big bad Republicans' fault. Okay. I'm going to go back to you here on this one, but like, let's talk real quick. This is in light of all of this failure and disaster. The only thing Newsom seems to be able to talk about is Trump. That's all he's complaining about. Multiple interviews, he just brings it back to Trump. Newsom responded in much the same way he always does, like a petulant child. His lack of experience, total inability to manage the state have directly led to events unfolding today. First, it's the economy, then it's homelessness, then it's crime, then finally it's the continual worsening wildland mismanagement. And what does he say? Trump is mean to him. That's all he has to say. We watch now, there's a famous clip now, I think it's Anderson Cooper. He's trying to interview him, and he's asking him about the fires and the fire hydrants and issues here. And all Newsom does, he keeps bouncing back to Trump. Well, but Trump's mean to me. Oh, Trump. They asked him, like, what about the fire hydrants and the lack of water storage? And, you know, you're letting runoff go into the ocean. And he goes, this is his famous line now because it's been retweeted millions of times. Newsom goes, the locals will figure that out. Anyways, Trump's been mean to me. It's just an absolute disgrace.
Well, Newsom is constantly, and we saw again because I worked a lot on the recall, he is constantly pivoting to something else. He frequently frames California's wildfire crisis as a result of climate change. But like we've kind of hit on now, the immediate problem is forest mismanagement, which he's ultimately in charge of. Firefighters and forest ecologists alike argue that California's wildfires are primarily driven by decades of poor forest management. So it's not, you know, this is not something that's new, that's all on Newsom per se, but he definitely is not helping the issue.
No.
Excessive fuel loads, overgrown forests, inadequate fire breaks are some of the large scale or contributors to large scale fires. Newsom has often leaned way too heavily on the climate change narrative, using it as a political talking point while failing to address the practical immediate steps needed to reduce wildlife risk, which goes exactly in line with, if it's not climate change, then it's Trump. If it's not Trump, then it's the locals. He just, he can't take any personal responsibility because he's only ever been a politician throughout his life. And he is a perfect example of a liberal Democrat who has somehow continued to fool the people that are voting for him, and he continually fails forward. So I'm hoping that it ends here and that he doesn't fail forward into the White House come 2028, but stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made a good point that it's nothing that Newsom invented necessarily. It's their continual mismanagement of it. We're not saying that difficult things don't happen or that there aren't disasters sometimes that are unavoidable. That is true. But how leadership responds, well, let me reframe that. How a person responds in crisis is what defines them as a leader. And Democrats have repeatedly shown themselves to be very foolish, very uninformed, very incompetent, really across every industry imaginable in government. Whether it's the Secret Service, whether it's city mayors like Karen Bass being off on some international trip while LA, you know, burns. It's like, what are you doing out of the country? It's just one thing after another, because again, they're driven by this progressive Marxist ideology. It's all about globalism and big government, and just based on their entire belief is based on a lot of fallacies, right? Lies. I thought it was interesting, a recent Joe Rogan podcast where he was talking to President Trump. I don't know if you saw that one. Remember they were talking about the Tulare Lake and how, like, in the middle of California, it was one of the largest freshwater lakes west of the Mississippi. And it has, you know, dried up. And so they were going back and forth about why that is. And to sort of recap it, the point is there are billions of gallons of water in California. This is a rich state. In fact, right now, despite all your climate alarmist out there, right now, as of today, let me get this right. Yes, we have a above average snowpack right now. And come springtime, there's going to be a lot of runoff. And then, as we all know, you know, I think it was Congressman Kevin Kiley last year who put out that video about the how many billions of gallons are, you know, they just let run off into the ocean. I mean, it's not a lack of water.
We have 840 miles of California coastline, which not every wildfire is close to the coast, but these ones that are happening today sure are.
Yeah, great question. Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, why couldn't we get water from the ocean to spray onto Pacific Palisades? I mean, I'm genuinely asking. I'm not an expert in you know.
I mean, I'm not either, but it seems pretty easy. But when you have, you know. Again, I think specifically with these fires, right, this is kind of a conglomerate of worst case scenario. I mean, I would have to imagine, I'm not a firefighter, but I would have to imagine it's not easy to fight any fire with 100-mile gust winds. But, like, again, it comes back to the lack of management. Why are we not managing our forests? Why are we not reducing the fuel reduction? Why are we letting lakes dry up or not taking advantage of snowcap or letting billions of gallons of water run off into
the ocean? Or managing the forest. Why are we not? We pass stupid pieces of legislation that allow you to not clear the forest. I mean, why do we do that? It's all ideologically driven. It's these students coming out of, you know, public universities that think America's evil and, you know, we got to save the smelt fish and the turtle over here. Complete disregard for human life. We see that across the board in their policies, though, right? Yeah. People are not a priority.
Yeah, it's human secularism.
Absolutely. It's unbelievable. Well, we will stay in touch here with what's going on. Obviously, we're pretty close. I don't know where you're listening from or if you're watching us on YouTube. We're pretty close to all this here in Southern California, and we'll try to stay on top of it as it progresses. But as of right now, it's not good. I'll have to see today. Actually, I haven't seen since last night if the fire came up over the ridge and went into the city of Santa Monica or not. I'll check on that coming up. But it was just we wanted to just talk about the fire today, guys. There's a lot more going on in the world that we'll get into in the coming weeks, hopefully. But for now, I just want to leave you with this. Please remember that civic engagement and voting matters. Okay. For all of you out there going, well, I don't care about politics. Well, politics cares about you. Because as boring as it may seem to go to a central committee meeting or a school board meeting or to pay attention to who you're voting for, these are the real world effects of apathy. The state of California handed their soul over to the Democrats, and they have suffered tremendously because of it. It's time for a return to common sense. You got to get back in there and elect people that know what they're doing, that care about human beings. And you know what? Gubernatorial races are coming up here soon in California, and people need to not forget what the Democrats have done to them. I know it's easy. You know, we have some major event happen and a week later, it's not on the news anymore and we totally forget about it. You need to remember this, and you need to have this discussion with your friends and your family and say, hey, remember when we pay ridiculous amounts of taxes for gas and when there's a, you know, water shortage and when there's fires burning down our cities? Yeah, let's elect people with a little common sense. Common sense. Don't be captivated by a single issue vote, okay? You need to think holistically and bring people into leadership that are going to be good for your society and for those around you. And you know, as a Christian, that's important. It's important to love your neighbor, to not be irresponsible and not care about who's leading your cities, your counties, your state, and your country. Because if you're born in the United States, this is your right. It's your right and responsibility to vote and stay engaged. And sometimes, you know, every once in a while, we get to see the real world consequences of electing bad leaders. So anyways, that's all we have for today. Check us out on, again, on Instagram, on X, stay up to date on news. Watch the show on YouTube and share it with anybody and everybody, please. That'd be wonderful. Check out definingtruth.org and pick up a copy of our book, Defining Truth, Articulating America's Worldview. It's a great tool to add to your belt in discussing these issues and many other topics in the culture war. So thanks for listening, guys. Until next time.